This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
Welcome you to Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests on the Barton Hahn Show up here on the Goodyear Hotline. We think the gremlins are out today. We're back in the studio, but we believe we've gotten all the gremlins out. We can hear each other. We can hear everything. Slight reverb. We're good. Check engine light. Off. For now.
We Gucci.
How are we feeling today, though? We've got a lot of NBA to discuss today, Bart. A lot of football we will get to the rest of the week. But the association's getting a little bit dramatic these days. As another NBA game, as Woj just put out on Twitter just a few minutes ago, another NBA game has been postponed. The Hawks and the Suns tonight also postponed in accordance with the league's health and safety protocols. So the Suns had, without the league, required 8 available players to proceed in this game. So you basically right now have 4 or 5 games in the NBA right now that are being affected by this. The league continues to talk about how they're going to keep going forward, pushing through this. They knew this was going to come. We'll have Brian Windhorst on with us in the 1 o'clock hour, and we'll discuss this with him a little bit deeper. But the COVID stuff we expected.
Yeah.
Some other drama that's involving star players in this league, Kyrie Irving, James Harden,
Bradley Beal,
and even a little bit of Bradley Beal. But let's begin with the latest, which is James Harden.
So Houston, we have a problem.
Oh, we've had a problem. And that city, by the way, where are you right now as a sports city if you're Houston? You're Astros under fire for cheating. No, we didn't forget. Oh, no, we didn't forget. God help you when fans get back in the
building. Trying to rub our face in the playoffs, though, so they okay. Out of all the organizations in Houston, that's the one I'm least worried about.
Isn't it 2 years ago today that they fired AJ Hinch? Oh, man, and Luhnow. But so you have the Astros and that whole situation they went through. Deshaun Watson, clearly not happy, and wait till we get to that because somebody that never speaks out spoke out today on Twitter, of all places, about Deshaun Watson's situation in Houston. But then you have James Harden, which we knew this was going to be a problem. Like, this is not to anyone's surprise. Mm-hmm. But what it is, if you're the league, this is the last thing you want to deal with. James Harden, I think it was clear that he wants out. Yeah. And the Rockets were saying, we're not going to trade you. He is under contract, a massive guaranteed contract. And he looks, Bart, like it's the before picture for Slim Fast. He is not exactly a guy that's, I mean, he's in shape.
He's still putting up buckets, though.
The shape is pear. Not like he was, though, not at the rim. And they get smoked by the Lakers. And after the game, he said he's doing all he can. He said he said a lot of things. But he also said something he has yet to say, which is, it's time for him to move on. Take a listen. Do not have that audio? Or I thought we had the audio of him talking about he's done everything he can.
Well, summarize it.
Well, it's basically, that's exactly what he said, is that he's done all he can.
Literally.
And that it's unfortunate that, like, he feels like it's just crazy what's happening in Houston, and he's saying it's not fixable.
Right. So, well, you use your expert analysis. Like I say, you know a lot more about basketball than I did. Or I do. Right? And you told me that it looked like Boogie Cousins is done. So if they thought they were going to get that.
Yeah, Boogie.
That
just
magic
watching him
with Boogie
play,
and the Kentucky connection, it's not going to happen. And now you see James Harden, and he's saying, you know what? I can't win here. This is a worse team than last year. The West is better. I'm not happy. I've done everything that I can do. Right, I put up buckets. I played an MVP level for the last 3 years. So what do you guys want me to do? So it's crazy. It was all good just a day ago. Because they were saying, oh, they're confident that James Harden was going to stay for the entire season. Pause. And already he's alienated his teammates. So now it's going to fracture the locker room. Because does Tucker say, hey, I'm part of the old guard too. I want out because he wants to get paid. They're looking at him like, dude, you're like as old as LeBron. So why would we pay you more money? So he wants out. Now James Harden wants out. And at the end of the day, I think it's best for all sides. But I don't want Houston to give him away. They got to get something, and there's no way you can get compensation for a top five player.
Who is going to want a guy that looks clearly out of shape, clearly not motivated?
Yes.
And if you do trade for him, it's going to cost you something,
right?
Including cap space. But you also then, in a shortened season, have to look at him physically and say, all right, how much time are you going to need to get into shape?
Three weeks.
Problem. Now, we have the Harden audio. We just had a little bit of check engine light on, as usual. That's why I see I jinxed it. But here's Harden here talking about how he's done all he can in Houston.
We're just not good enough. Obviously, chemistry, talent-wise, just everything. And it was clear, like I said, these last few games, and from the beginning of the game, it was just aggressive. Veteran team, obviously, championship team, and, you know, one of the best teams that we have in this league. I love this city. I literally have done everything that I can. I mean, this situation is crazy. You know, it's something that I don't think can be fixed. So, yeah, thanks.
There it is.
He said we're not good enough, which, of course, if you're John Wall, you take offense to that.
Exactly.
They traded Russell Westbrook for John Wall.
Shots
fired. John Wall coming back from an injury is like, well, wait a minute. What are you saying about me now? I'm not good enough. And John Wall responded by saying that it's basically, that's his opinion. And he feels like everybody needs to be focused. Like, they're 3-6. And John Wall's kind of saying, like, we're all 3-6. This is like, don't put this on us. Anyways, Harden wants out. But this is why I think an owner, even fans, when you hear about max extensions, it's an uneasy thing. This is a four-year deal that he signed for $171 million, and he's in year two. His player option at the end of this thing is $47 million.
Right.
47.
This is a player
that looks like when he turns the switch off, it's off. This could be a lost season because now you're trying to get him to fight back and play and get into shape. But what I don't understand about Harden is with a contract like this, you have an obligation. And we'll get to obligations when we talk to Kyrie in a moment. Uh-huh. You have an obligation, regardless of how you feel about the team. You have an obligation. You're being paid to be the best player on the court. If you show up out of shape with your mind like, I just want out of here, so I'm just going to pout and not play hard until they trade me, why did you sign the contract then?
Well, but that's
you put the team in a bad position. They can't move you. You want to be traded, but how do they trade you if you're playing like crap, you look like crap, and your mood is terrible?
Well, James Harden at 80% is better than one-third of this league. You can say that. This guy's been playing at an MVP level for the better half of the last previous 3 years. This guy is a walking bucket, man. In the last couple of years, it looks to me like he put his heart and soul into it. He even played defense last year and hunkered down. He was in the best shape of his life. And understand that this year's a little weird. Like, I give a lot of players a pass because this is a guy, right, that we're talking about never takes any work or load management days. He shows up every day and plays. And sometimes I feel to his detriment because sometimes I feel like he wears down late in seasons because he carries the team for the whole season. He plays usually more minutes than anybody in the league. He don't take days off. So I think, you know, a lot of players from the pandemic that struggle with their weight, because even though he was in great shape, it's a little fat kid inside of him, and it wants to come out all the time. Just like it's a little fat kid in Draymond Green. And we say Draymond Green a lot of times during the season, coach say Draymond has to get in better shape. We saw that with Shaq a lot of times, that he used the season to get in shape. So in a shortened season, guys thought they were going to recover. They thought they were going to start after Martin Luther King's birthday.
But he was partying during training camp.
He letting his hair out. He got a release.
How much more, the guy's beard's down to here. How much more hair do you want to let out? It's a bad optic, and it's another reason why, in my opinion, that's why max contracts make everybody uneasy, because you're now committing all this money to a player, and you're hoping he stays committed to you, because there's nothing you can do about it. In the NFL, I can get out. Like, even Carson Wentz, you can get out of that deal. Yes. There's certain contracts you can get out of those deals at some point. You can't with James Harden. You have to hope. Like, an injury is an injury. If you get hurt, I understand. You can't control injury, but you can control your attitude.
Yeah.
And if you shut down on me, that's money wasted. Now, so we'll see now if James Harden gets traded. I would think it's inevitable, but whoever's acquiring him, buyer, beware. Because you're not getting a player who's going to be ready to play the way we've seen him play at a super high level, where he's an MVP candidate every year. He's not going to be able to do that in the condition he's in.
See, I disagree.
You're going to have to wait for him to get in that condition.
I disagree. Even in football, the athlete doesn't get in shape till like really the fourth game. You know, so that's 4 weeks.
It's an injury waiting to happen.
Not the way he plays, because it's not like he's trying to dunk on people. He's a guy that's stepping back, shaking guys up. He's like the fat dude. He's Escalade at the park. You know what I'm saying? He hitting you with a little bit. Rest in peace, Escalade. Hit you with a little belly, step back, separation, release, rotation, splash. But for me, like, he's one of the best players in the game. And it's going to take him a while to get himself into shape. But when he gets in shape around playoff time, I almost like this better, because he won't go out too hard, because he's going to protect himself from injury. And we've seen players already go out too hard, playing too many minutes, get injured. You mentioned Martell's folks yesterday. And you mentioned some other players that have gotten injured because the minutes are just too high.
Yeah.
So the fact that he's out of shape,
Spencer Dinwiddie's another.
He's going to build his way up into shape. And he's going to be peaking when that team makes a trade for him. It is easy just with dieting and doing a little the fat man walk and getting on the treadmill after practice, run a couple wind sprints for 2-3 weeks, and boom, there you are. He just hasn't had a chance to go through a real training camp.
And he has to actually have some.
He's got to put a little more
give a damn into his game first before I can worry about him.
But the give a damn not going to get me traded.
Okay, good. All right. So one of the teams, and this will be Straight Talk brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. One of the teams that he has been rumored to.
Yes.
Since the rumor started that he wanted out of Houston, the Brooklyn Nets.
Could you imagine adding that to the mix?
And that's exactly my point. Now, like, it's almost as if the Brooklyn Nets now suddenly come out of the equation. If you're Sean Marks, how could you possibly say, oh, sure, let's throw this into the chaos and stir it up in a pot? Why not?
Well, at least you have
how
two superstars.
How much worse could it possibly
one?
Get here in Brooklyn? It can't get any worse than this. You have now a player, Kyrie Irving, who not only hasn't played in 4 games, isn't playing tonight on national TV at Madison Square Garden against the Knicks on ESPN. You don't know when he's coming back. And 30 minutes before last night's game, where Kevin Durant, I'll get to that in a minute.
Oh, he put on a show
and had to drag this team back from down 18 to get the win.
Did he say
just
game
so
blouses?
They could stay 500.
Did he say game blouses on that crossover? Was it game blouses?
He's pretty damn good. So you have all that going on while Kyrie Irving is on a Zoom call with a Manhattan DA hopeful and a couple other celebrities and other types. Now, he jumped off the call just before tip-off. Thank you. But it's like you could just see he's doing other things, his mind somewhere else. And everybody wants to come down on Kyrie Irving. Again, big contract. He's making $33 million this year. And over the first 2 years so far, remember, he didn't play in the bubble.
Yep.
Over his first 2 years so far in Brooklyn since signing that contract, he has played in 30% of the team's games.
That was a concern.
27 games so far he has played in, only 30% of the games. Now, I know some of it was to injury, but he opted out of the bubble.
Yep.
And now he's opting out of just playing for whatever reason.
But why did he opt out of the bubble? I think that's big for everybody who don't know to say why he opted out of the bubble, because he felt like it was a distraction from the social justice movement. So this is a guy that truly wants to be in politics, and he has to make a decision and make sure that he takes care of his obligations. Because you can do both, right? We see LeBron do both. Amazing. He uses the platform, which is the NBA, to promote his social justice, reform, his policies, his school. He uses that to amplify his message. And I think that Kyrie is distracted because he feels that he can't do both, not understanding that, that Zoom call is one thing. That's us trying to look for back page stuff. But, if you use the platform, which is the NBA, and work with the NBA, they can amplify that message. You get more things moved. You catch more bees with honey than vinegar. And that's what Kyrie has to realize, that he should be able to use this NBA platform to amplify his message and get the legislation or get the things done that he wants to get accomplished. He thinks that he has to step away from the game, but now the message about what he's trying to get accomplished is being distorted because we're talking about him being at a birthday party, which is fine. We all have family members that we love, and at some point, you're going to be with your family members, but it's becoming a distraction to the team, and they don't pay you all that money to be a distraction. They pay you to be part of the solution, not the problem. And right now, Kyrie Irving is part of the problem. And we saw this in Boston. We saw this at the end in Cleveland. And now when you get what you want, when somebody shows you who they are, you have to believe them. And what Kyrie has showed his teammates and showed his organizations over the last couple of years is that he can't stay focused. that he can't stay locked in, that his he has things that are more important to him than the game of basketball. So basketball is always going to be put on the back burner. So now when it's put on the back burner, he's part of the Zoom call, then now we all sound surprised. You know, this is something that KD should have took into consideration. This is something that Nash should have taken into consideration. This is one thing that the Brooklyn organization should have taken into consideration. So now you got to understand that, hey, yeah, we paid Kyrie this money, but he is not going to be all in, and it's going to be days that we're going to say, hey, we don't know where he is. And that is something that you worry about when you have players that are addicted to, like, substances. You don't expect that from somebody that's supposed to be doing something right. And he's causing that same distraction, whether it's for a just cause or not. He's not fulfilling his obligation to his contract. And for that, he should be ashamed of himself, and he has to look within himself and figure out how to find a proper balance about doing what he feels is right outside of his workplace and also, you know, fulfilling his obligations to his team. Because there's no Dinwiddie there right now, right? So, like, so you're putting all this pressure on KD, who's just come back from an injury. You talk about breaking down. If he breaks down, your chances for a championship, which is what why he came to the Nets, because he loved the Nets, and this is where he's from East Orange. You know, he's from here. He came here to bring this organization a championship and to prove that he can win one without LeBron. Well, right now, you're going in the wrong direction, bro. You got to figure it out. You got to galvanize your teammates and get everybody all locked in. How can you ask and demand 100% from your teammates when you're supposed to be the leader and they look at you and say, you're not fulfilling your obligation to us? So now it's going to fracture the locker room once again. And I don't know, having DeAndre Jordan as a buddy and having KD as a buddy is going to be enough, because I feel like that team feel like you could have played in the bubble last year, but then you left them high and dry twice.
You just went 4 minutes there, making a great case against Kyrie Irving and basically, you know, making it clear his obligations and all those other things. What you never did was mention the real culprit here, the Brooklyn Nets.
Yeah.
Why are they not getting any accountability for this? You had a young roster and a really good young head coach in Kenny Atkinson. And that roster was torn apart.
Yes.
Now, you sold your soul, and look, the Knicks wanted to do the same damn thing. But you sold your soul because you wanted to get Kevin Durant. And maybe in the end, the best thing that Kyrie Irving will do for the Nets is that he delivered Kevin Durant.
Yeah.
And that's fine, because it's still worth it. But what you never pointed out was that the enabler in this whole thing has been the Brooklyn Nets.
Yep.
I mean, Steve Nash doesn't even know what to say. He was asked, will Kyrie play again this year? And he goes, sure.
Well, he's his partner. He's not his coach. Remember, this is a collaboration.
But that's my whole point. From day one, you haven't enabled this because now you're afraid to push back, thinking if he shuts down, we're in big trouble. But you're in trouble either way. You have to have some standard in that team. And it can't be
show up when you feel like
one for all, but not all for one. It's, you know, this guy is one for one.
Yeah.
I that's the part that I think I struggle with, that Sean Marks has nothing to say publicly. They're afraid to say something publicly. And I know everybody in New York says, can you imagine if this was the Knicks? What a catastrophe this would be if this was the Knicks. It's the Nets, so people are just sort of like, oh, it's the Nets. Like, you just dismiss it.
Yeah,
but it's still, for the NBA, this is a major story.
He finally got the back page.
Let's stop persecuting Kyrie about this. We know who he is.
Yeah.
By now, why are you surprised that he would do this? I don't think we need to keep badgering Kyrie. This is who he is. We knew this.
Yes.
The problem is that the Nets handed their franchise to him, and they can't get it back. And now you are stuck with him. And talk about another contract that you're not getting out of.
Yeah.
You're not trading him. And I heard Stephen A. say earlier today on First Take that he should retire. If you don't want to play, retire. That's great. But if you're the Nets,
they need to dock his pay.
He doesn't want to lose that money. That's money. That's his money. He's not walking away from that money.
They need to dock his pay then. He shouldn't be getting paid for it.
That hasn't happened. And if it hasn't happened yet, it's not going to happen. So what's going to stop him from doing this again when he does come back? And he gives us his reasoning. And all's forgiven because, man, we need his 20 and 11 assists per game. And we need him to take pressure off Kevin Durant because we need him to win. You're a 500 team right now. Kevin Durant, ironically, didn't want to go to a team that didn't have a full roster. He wanted another star with him.
Right.
Right now, he doesn't have that. He's got to carry the team like he did last night, and now in a back-to-back, he's got to do it. So there needs to be accountability, not just on Kyrie Irving, but on the Brooklyn Nets and how poorly they've handled this, how they've allowed it to happen, and continue to allow it to happen. Sean Marks basically, like, what would they say? I saw one report where it said that the Nets' patience is growing thin. Growing thin.
You know what? And then he puts him in a tough situation because they don't know where he is, but everybody in social media can find him whenever they want to. So it's like the whole thing. Like, he's giving his information to social media, and he's not giving his organization any ammo to say, hey, this is what's going on. We've spoken with Kyrie. We're aware of the situation. And the thing is, when the NBA investigation comes back, Alan, we don't even know what they're going to say, right? They may say this dude has a quarantine for 14 more days on top of when he decides to come back because they have no idea where the hell he's been. And the NBA is going to probably find him, not his own team. So if that's the case, man, like, it's going to take, and it's going to, listen, I'll tell you what, it's going to come to an intersection where Kevin Durant is going to say, hey, bro, you're leaving me out by myself, right? Like, you're putting pressure on me. I came here because of you, because you said we were going to do something special. We decided we're going to do something special. You're not holding up your end of the bargain. And what happens if that fractures? What if the organization has to pick between Kyrie and KD?
Well,
that's KD every day
questions.
Because Kyrie thinks that he's the man. No, he's Robin. Batman is KD. He's the unicorn. You know what I'm saying? I can find you a lot of different Kyrie's.
Well,
I can show you Dame Dummy. I can give you.
In order to be Robin, you've got to be in the Batcave.
Ah, so you're saying he's Alfred.
You need to be available. That's the problem. And
I told you, the biggest number is
first two seasons, $60 million.
Yeah.
He so far has been available for 30% of that $60 million. Bang for the buck. Hey, he delivered KD. In the end, that might be all that matters. That's Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. Our number, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. I need to know who's the more maddening player. The NBA has had drama. It always has drama. But there's two stories here. Who is the more maddening player? Is it Harden, who is pretty much has given up on his franchise and wants out of a city that is... Nobody else loves Harden outside of Houston. He's mumble rap when you watch him play basketball.
Oh.
You know it's art. But it's hard to enjoy, let's be honest.
Harden is finally telling the truth.
It's hard to enjoy him play.
He let his hate for the beard come out.
But is he more maddening or Kyrie, who just kind of like butterflies away every now and then and then comes back and plays great and butterflies away? You don't know what you have with him on a daily basis, which is more maddening. Again, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. So we'll dive into that. There's a juicy rumor going around the NBA right now. Brian Windhorst is going to join us in 1 o'clock hour, and we'll go deeper into NBA stuff. Meanwhile, back in Houston, there's another story involving the football team there and a player who never speaks up. So when he does, you probably should listen. We'll discuss coming up next. ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance, with insurance for cars, home, boats, motorcycles, RVs, and commercial vehicles at 1-800-PROGRESSIVE and Progressive.com. Bart and Han, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus.
Bart and Han.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, I'm loving the music, man.
But I tell you guys what.
Listen. It is a lot of money out there. And what I want everybody to do, I want them to go and download the DraftKings app and use promo code BART, that's B-A-R-T, to get a free shot of millions of dollars up for grabs this week with the first deposit. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for more details. That's a lot of money, man. I can use $1 million.
Promo code BART. You see, yesterday I was watching back yesterday laughing at the There It Goes See Us segment, which we promise you we're going to keep doing it.
Oh, it's going to only get better.
I probably should take this. I'm so used to leaving this on during the breaks as we're trying to be as safe as we can here in the studio. I just realized it was still. Thanks for telling me, by the way. Great teammate you are.
You look like Ninja Gaiden.
But the There It Goes See Us segment yesterday was such an absolute beautiful disaster that we definitely have to just keep doing
it.
Why not?
We'll get it. We'll get more reps, man.
Well, speaking of reps, let's get some calls in here at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The most maddening player out of the two right now making headlines in the NBA, and that, of course, James Harden, Kyrie Irving. We begin with Ronald from Florida. Go ahead, Ronald.
Yeah, man, check yourself before you riggity wreck yourself. Yeah,
sir.
Man, okay, check it out, man. I've been watching the NBA. I remember when the Sixers won the title in 83, man. And I have to agree with you, Bart Scott. I haven't seen 50 individual players better than Kyrie Irving in the history of the league, dude. That's the problem, though, dude. It's like a Kanye West, man. He has all the talent in the world, but his mental, man.
Yeah, and it's the people that question his passion for the sport, you got it all wrong. He loves to play. What he doesn't love are rules.
Right.
He doesn't want to have to adhere to your rules.
Right.
And the problem is that in the NBA, you sign a contract. That contract has rules and regulations, things you have to follow. It's an agreement. If you want to just play basketball because you love the art, which is what he calls it,
right?
West 4th, Rucker Park,
yeah.
I mean, the cage.
But that's the problem.
You can play anywhere you want in New York City and get a great game, and there's no rules other than the game rules.
See, but the problem is...
But you're not getting $33 million to do it.
And people that are great, like the top 1% of their craft, he's always was the best high school player. He's the best college player. He's one of the best NBA players. They don't adhere and abide by the rules because they've always had their own set of rules. So now here he is going to an organization. He saw how LeBron was able to pretty much be the general manager. And I think him playing with LeBron is what changed him because he saw the power of the player. So now he thinks that he can use that same power, but you got to understand, LeBron only exercised that power once he was not one, not two, but three-time champion, right? Kyrie hasn't done that. He hasn't brought a championship to the Nets. He didn't bring a championship to Boston. He left those places worse than when he got there. So until he does that, he can't be LeBron. So this is the thing. He wants to be the GOAT. He wants to be treated like LeBron. He wants to be mentioned like LeBron, but he ain't LeBron. Just like no matter how great Isaiah Thomas was, he wasn't Michael Jordan. No matter how great, Shaq was, he never was going to get that same love that Magic got, right? It's only certain players that get that type of clout where he can do pretty much whatever he wants and nobody frowns at it. Kyrie rubs people the wrong way. I said all the time, Chad Johnson, Terrell Owens, both were equally distractions. But Chad did it with a smile, and you laughed and you giggled at everything that he did, where T.O. came off and rubbed you the wrong way, where Chad was talking about, I had to go get my McDonald's, coach. That's why I ain't show up. Ronald McDonald was calling me. The cookies was calling me. And you laughed like, man, you late, man. Go to meetings. T.O.'s like, man, I'm getting a pump, whatever, man. Forget y'all. And then it rubs you the wrong way. Kyrie is the superstar that rubs you the wrong way because he doesn't know how to blend in. He's a disruptor, and I think that he could be just big enough of a disruption for this project not to work. And this project was saying, hey, you can get two guys that got the thinnest skin in all of sports. I mean, you talk about skin like a deer. I mean, Rex used to tell us all the time, man, in this business, you got to have skin like an armadillo because guys are going to be shooting at you all the time. You got to be able to take the hits and keep moving forward. These dudes got that deer velvet skin, not only deer skin, not the back part, not the shoulder blades. They got deer belly skin. And if anybody comes after them, they can't handle it. Listen, we waiting to see when people come at KD if he's going to start a whole new ghost Twitter and go at people like, KD, you supposed to be at the pregame shoot-around. Nah, man, I got something to do. And he's sitting there clapping back at people, and we link it back to him. That's the issue. Kyrie is just good enough to get your organization beat and get people fired because of his shenanigans.
Let's take one more. All right, we can't.
Damn it!
No. It's all right.
Man, they spent the clock up. You know how you watch TV.
I realize the time. We got another topic to get to, but we do have calls we want to get to, but that's all right.
Yeah.
You've got a lot to say about Kyrie. I mean, you're very passionate about this as an athlete. Like I said, you're taking it from the athlete's perspective. I'm taking it from the team perspective.
Yeah.
I mean, either you have control of your organization or you don't. And eventually somebody's going to have to be held accountable.
They gave the keys to a space cadet.
If Kyrie's not being held accountable, then it's the guy in charge of the organization, which is Sean Marks, who's going to have to be held accountable. But you know who's really going to be the first fall guy? Steve Nash. Well, the coach is always the first guy to go. They'll say you can't control your players.
Well, it has to go
but
to
the
Marks.
Whole idea, he was hired because the players didn't want somebody who controlled them.
Right.
You have to practice. Kenny Atkinson wanted to practice all the time. He wanted your stars should set the example, show up early, leave late. Be the guy that everybody sees. That's the standard. Look how hard Kyrie works. I got to be there as much. And Kyrie's like, that's not what I'm about.
You see this?
Yeah.
These are two cars passing in the night. And eventually, Kevin Durant, who's a little older, those cars are going to meet, and they're going to have a real-life conversation. And their friendship and their partnership is going to have to come to a crossroad. Right. And it's going to be some tough conversations that could change their relationship. Because at the end of the day, if KD's showing up, he's not going to appreciate that he has to do all the heavy lifting when he came here because he wanted to be with another superstar, so he didn't have to do that.
All right. Well, speaking of crossroads, the Houston Texans are at a crossroads right now, and they have a situation with another star of theirs, and that's Deshaun Watson. And you've heard that he said, she said, and sources and everything else. What you don't hear a lot of times is from Andre Johnson. He doesn't talk a lot. But when he does, you listen. What he had to say, coming up next. Bart and Han, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus.
Bart and Han.
Bart and Han, ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests on the Bart and Han Show appear on the Goodyear Hotline. Bart, there's certain players, when they talk, it's rare, and so you listen.
Yep.
And as the story is unfolding in Houston about Deshaun Watson, and it's mostly source-based. He's not happy, but he's also on vacation. That's what they were saying. The Texans are obviously they're the ones that are speaking, saying we have no intention of trading. Now all of a sudden they want to interview Eric Bieniemy, which is what Deshaun wanted. Then comes which is again very interesting, a tweet from Andre Johnson, who had been working for the team up until this year and then no longer, but he's still connected to the team. He's still an ambassador.
He is Houston, Texas.
And then he goes to Twitter and he says, if I'm Deshaun, I will, and you see it right now on ESPN Plus, I will stand my ground. He said, the Texans organization is known for wasting players' careers. Then he mentions Jack Easterby and he says, since he's walked in the building, nothing's good has happened. And for some reason, someone can't see what's going on. Pathetic. And later, DeAndre Hopkins, who, as you know, was traded, and that really caused a lot of consternation. He then responded to the tweet saying, when Dre speak, listen.
Yeah.
Now, clearly, if Andre Johnson is saying this publicly.
Yeah. He don't say nothing.
Tell the people about how Andre, this is why. When he does, you heard, actually Hopkins say it too. When he speaks, you listen.
Yeah.
Because he rarely does speak out and speak up like this. He's that quiet guy in the room that when things go bad and he slams the table and stands up, the whole room just shuts up. Oh,
exactly.
He's going to say something. I mean, what do you make of this?
He's like Marvin Harris. You know what I mean? Sometimes you forget what his voice even sounds like. I've heard maybe 20 words from him, and I can remember playing him before, right? And we had a crack toss, and Dre comes, and I don't know. I just feel
pressure. This is your first year with
first
the Jets.
First year with the Jets.
09, first game of the season against the Texans.
And I'm jacked up on Mountain Dew, and I just feel pressure. It's like a crack toss, and I feel it. So I just grab whatever I feel. I grab the helmet, and I spin the person around, and I smack him in the back of the helmet. The helmet pops off. I throw the helmet, and I run. And I look up, and it's Dre. And Dre didn't get crazy. He didn't say, man, come after me.
Right, right, right.
He looked at me like, come on, Bart. Went and picked up his helmet like, that's messed up. And I was like, dang, Dre, my bad. Dre's one of those dudes, man. He's the coolest dude. Remember, he was on that crazy team with Ed Reed, with Sean Taylor, with Gore, McGahee. He was arguably the best player on that team. He's arguably the best player in Houston Texans history. I think maybe J.J. Watt is taking that, but he was one of the best receivers in the game. And they wasted his career with Matt Schaub. They wasted his career with the coaches that they had in there. Kubiak can never get it figured out. And when he speaks, not just Houston listens, all former NFL athletes listen, because Dre never says anything. So if he's telling you that this organization is in disarray, Deshaun Watson, you better pay attention, because he is a great player, one of the best players, a future Hall of Famer that nobody speaks about, right? All he did was go about his business year in and year out, and he was the number one target that we had to stop. Now, if you want to go and you believe in this organization, like they can figure it out, like the same thing that people were telling Joe Burrow, hey, Joe, man, I don't know. Remember, Carson Palmer told Joe Burrow the same thing. We don't know if that's going to be the narrative. So far, not so good, especially with the knee injury. Let's see. They're going to keep Zach Taylor around. But Deshaun Watson really has to consider maybe leaving. And you're starting to see around the league, people are starting to maneuver and move the chess pieces. Because I was looking at Bleacher Report today. They're saying, hey, people inside of the organization for Miami isn't so sure how talented Tua is. So when you start seeing those chips and things being leaked strategically, you should start paying attention. Deshaun Watson said he will go play in Miami. How ironic would that be that Miami gets back the picks that they gave up for Tunsil, right, to be able to get the picks back. But Deshaun Watson, like I say, if I'm the Jets, if I'm any team, if I'm San Francisco, could you imagine Deshaun Watson in a Shanahan system with run?
I don't want to.
But, man, run. Don't walk. Run away from Houston, man, because they will waste your career. Those are the same things somebody should have told Barry Sanders. Those are the same things that somebody should have told Calvin Johnson. That's what I'm telling Matthew Stafford right now. Some organizations is just cursed. And it ain't enough sage in the damn world to save Houston right now. You heard J.J. Watt say, hey, bro, I'm sorry I wasted a year of your career. Get out of there now. Run. Did you see? What is it? Get up?
It's get out.
Run. Deshaun, run. Get the hell out of there. While still safe, while you still got some prime years left.
Barton Hahn brought to you by Goodyear, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear, more driven.
I'm the grandfather.
as he tells Deshaun to run, we will talk with Brian Windhorst next on the drama in the NBA. Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus.
Thanks for listening to the Barton Hahn Podcast. You can listen live to Barton Hahn weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio, or stream the video of the show on ESPN Plus. Bart and Hahn, the podcast.